A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Today's daf is Shabbos Yud Dalid, Shabbos 14. We're going to start on the facing page where the topic begins. So please join on page 26, which is Yud Gimel Amid Beis 13b. We're starting from the Mishnah, which is about 20 lines from the top. That looks good. And the Mishnah tells us as follows. Ve'elu min ha-halachos, these are among the halachos, she'omru, that they said, ba'alias Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Goron, in the attic of Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Goron. She'olu levakro, because the sages went to visit him in his attic. Nimnu v'rabu v'shamaya b'shilo, they counted, and they found that the students of Beis Shammai were more than those of Beis Hillel in that gathering. For Yudches Tevorim Gozru Bo Bayom, and therefore there were 18 enactments that the rabbis passed on that fateful day. A very famous Mishnah. We need to dissect it and appreciate what's going on over here. So let's drop down about 5 lines and we'll get a little bit of a flavor of what's going on. The first word on the line where I am is Ve'elu, Tanan, Shin Mem, Shma Mina, 2 dots, and then we begin Tanu Rabbanon. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned. Mikos of Megillas Tainis. Who was the person who wrote Megillas Tainis, which was a special ledger of difficulties that the Jewish people encountered and were saved from. And on this ledger, they recorded days that they did not want you to fast because it's a mini festival. Chananya ben Chizkiya v'siyaito. Chananya ben Chizkiya and those who assisted him were responsible for Megillas Tainis. Because difficult times were endeared to them, Rashi explains, they made sure to remember the difficult times which they were saved from, so that they would remember to praise Hashem. Sometimes a person gets saved and he forgets the bad times. One of the remarkable things about Yahadus Judaism is that we're very careful to remember the difficult times so that we are thankful for the redemption. Eating matzah and moror on Seder night is a prime example. This was Chananya ben Chizkiya. He was certainly a trendsetter, a leader. The Gemara continues, if you'll drop down another 8 lines, at the end of a line, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Biram Zechor. You see that at the end of a line?
Biram Zechor, yeah.
Biram Zechor, Osoi Ishlatov, indeed. Remember that man for good. V'chananya ben Chizkiya Shemo. His name is Chananya ben Chizkiya. And now we'll understand why he was in the attic. She'el Molehu, if not for him, Nigna Sefer Yechezkel. The book of Yechezkel would have been put away into hiding. You know, we have an expression that the Zohar is only for special people, it's hidden, it's not for everyone. That would have happened to the book of Yechezkel. Shehayu Devarav Sosum Divrei Torah, because there are things in the book of Yechezkel that do not appear to be in consonance with the words of Torah. They don't match. Rashi gives us an example, because it says, and this is actually a Haftorah, it's a famous pasuk, Kol nevela utrefa lo yochlu hakohanim. Any dead carcass, a non-shecht behema, should not be eaten by the kohanim. It sounds like a regular Jew, who's not as sacred as the kohanim, is allowed to eat something that wasn't shecht properly. And that doesn't make sense. That doesn't match what's written in the Torah. What did Yechezkel mean when he said that something that's not shecht properly can't be eaten by the Kohanim? And Rashi explains that after Hananya ben Chizkiya was done with his work, everybody understood that he had said that because Malika, cutting the bird's head with a fingernail, is kosher in the Beis HaMikdash in the case of Chatas Ha'of. And because there's a case of not normal Shechita that's permitted to the Kohanim, Yechezkel had to say, but under any other circumstance, it has to be a legitimate Shechita. So it only pertained to the Kohanim. Everybody else understood they had to eat Shecht animals. Mm-hmm. But the Kohanim had an exception in the Beis HaMikdash called Malika, where you chop the head off with the fingernail. So he had to say, that's the only exception in the Beis HaMikdash for the Kohanim in the case of the Karban. Otherwise, they have to eat regular Shecht animals like everyone else. It's just one example of the book of Yechezkel being on such a high level that it's already talking four steps ahead of you. And unless he explained what was going on in the book of Yechezkel and provided a commentary, they were ready to put the book away because it was misleading. What did he do? He brought up for himself into this attic 300 barrels of oil. The imagery here is that he needed to learn through the night, and he needed oil to fuel his candle. Rashi mentions also for food. He had oil for food. V'yosha ba'aliyah v'darshan, and he parked himself, so to speak, in his attic, uninterrupted, and he stayed there until he worked through the book of Yechezkel. This number 300, some of the Mefarshim say maybe an expression. 300 is similar to 400, which is the highest number in regular gematria. Tough is 400, and 300 is almost 400. And it's like saying he brought up a number similar to infinity. Almost infinity. If they wanted to say infinity, they would use the expression tough 400. But if they want to say almost infinity, so they use the expression 300, and some commentaries say it's merely an expression. In any case, it was an enormous amount, and he certainly was a trendsetter. He made a statement over here. And what he did is like a reminder of, in more modern times, we have the expression of the Chazon Ish, where he said that when he was a youth learning in Vilna, and they hit a hard Gemara which they could not resolve, his expression was that he and his two Chavrusas would commit themselves that they learned now for 6 hours straight, and they're going to learn for another 6 hours straight if they have to until they understand the Gemara. And they took a 10-minute break, they said Tehillim, and they started their next. And that's this tremendous drive that we see here, a similar midah, similar character trait of Hananya ben Chizkiya in his commitment to preserve Sefer Yechezkel as part of mainstream scripture. Now we're told, Shmona Asa Dava Gazru Bo Bayom, they legislated 18 things on that day when they visited him. It was a major gathering. And on that time, they legislated 18 things. Among those 18, let's jump on to today's daf, Shabbos Yudalid, Shabbos 14a, pagination 27. So one of the things they legislated is something called Sefer. You shouldn't have to turn. Something called Sefer, which is that if Truma, holy food, comes in contact with a holy book, a parchment, it becomes tummy. It becomes unusable anymore. You can't eat it anymore. And the purpose, obviously, was to cause people not to leave their truma next to the sefer, next to the holy scrolls. And the reason for that is explained because they used to do it because they said, this is holy and that's holy. This is holy food, this is holy scripture. Let's leave them together. They like match each other. And the problem was that the mice would come for the food and they would end up damaging the scroll. And they wanted that to stop. So one of the things they legislated, if you look over here about 15 lines up in the middle of the line, the Sefer, look at the middle of the line. Run your finger up the middle of the line. The Sefer. The Sefer, my time ago, Zrube, why did they legislate that if something comes in contact with a scroll, it becomes Tameh? Rabbanan Toma, Omer Rav Mem Sharshia, Shabbatchiloi Matznias Ochlim Teruma Eitzel Sefer Torah. Originally, they would leave the Teruma next to the Sefer Torah. V'omru, Hai Kodesh, V'hai Kodesh, this is holy, that's holy, it goes together. Kevin Deka Chazu Deka Asu Lidei Pseida, once they saw that the scrolls are getting damaged, Gazru Be Rabbanan Toma, they made an actual legislation that the Teruma becomes impure, rabbinically, so that people would stop doing this. Another thing mentioned over here, v'hayadayim, and a person's hands, if he doesn't wash them before he touches teruma, are going to make the teruma tameh. And the Gemara explains, mepnei shehayadayim iskani yosein, because the hands are always touching things, we want you to wash them before you touch the teruma, because as Rashi explains, it's disrespectful, it's disgusting, if you're going to use your hands that were touching everything, to then touch the teruma, we wanted you to wash them first. This hand washing is further elaborated in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Vav 106, if anyone wants to do that for homework, 106a, and over there it's explained our hand washing, how that came about, what that legislation is about, that we wash our hands before we eat bread. Mm-hmm. But for now, our Gemara is referring to cases of teruma, and they legislated it because they wanted the hands to be washed, and until they're washed, they would make everything tameh if they touched the teruma. Yeshakoach, have a wonderful day.